We left off in the last year before Yom Tov. We were talking about the different heterim that combine together to permit something which would otherwise be an act of Orah. Orah is a very strange malacha, in that if a few different conditions are met, then all of a sudden we no longer view it as a malachas Orah, rather view it as derech achila. That's the principle that the Rishon displayed. That's the underlying principle behind all the rules that appear in the Gemara, Masech HaShabbos, and the Fayin Dalet, about if it's done with one's hands, if it's done from the good for the bad, if it's done for immediate use. All the different rules combined together to label the action as no longer derech malacha, but rather as derech achila. So one of the important criteria that's used to determine whether something is derech malacha, derech achila, is the notion of miyad, the notion of doing it for immediate use. So sometimes we use the term la'altar, means the same thing. La'altar chayim tar mishalvim, which a person should have a sivach simutel la'altar chayim. La'altar means miyad, means immediate. So what exactly are the parameters of this rule of immediate use, that some immediate use solves the world's problems? So there is a big machlokes that we've shown him just how many problems does immediate use solve. Normally we said that there are distinctions between using a kli versus a chopsolos, etc. So comes the Rambam and tells us that even though doing something for immediate use is important and it is a significant factor in determining that something is derech achil and not derech malacha, but it is not the end all, argues the Rambam. And therefore, if the other conditions are not met, so just merely doing something for immediate use is not going to solve the world's problems. And therefore, the Rambam writes that the only time we say that la'altar or miyad is mutter, that's even when both other conditions are met. So the Rambam tells us that if you have all three factors, you have three checks in your favor, then and only then will in a sense look the other way and say, this is achila, this is not really called malacha. But let's say, for example, argues the Rambam, what if you're taking psovas min ha'ochel? So says the Rambam, then miyad, from today to tomorrow, no pardon, that's not going to help you. Doing it for immediate use is not going to solve the problem. So it'll be you doing it for 5 minutes from now, but if l'mais I'm doing psalos miyochel, so that objectively it's automatically labeled as derech bereira, that's not called derech achila, and that would be problematic. So again, so the klal of la'alter, the miyad, is important, but it's not all important, it's not the most important rule, because it can't trump the otherwise problem of psalos miyochel. So this statement of the Rambam is highly questionable, because at least some Rishonim saw that the Rambam seems to be against the Mishnah. The Mishnah happens not to appear in Maseches Shabbos, it appears in Maseches Beitza, in the context not of Bar B'Shabbos, but rather Bar B'Yom Tov. The Mishnah in the first paragraph of Maseches Beitza speaks about doing Borer on Yom Tov, and the Mishnah says that's Mutter. The Mishnah quotes Machoyz B'Sham B'Silel, and the Mishnah concludes that a Borer kidney is B'Yom Tov, Borer Kedaka, that if a person wants to separate kidneys, beans, from Psoles, so he's got a whole pile of good and bad, so the Mishnah says, no problem, on Yom Tov, it's okay. As long as you don't use a kli, you don't use an absolute sieve, a sift or something like that, if you want to just do it in a more with your hands type of activity, so that would be okay. So on the side of the Rambam, because the Mishnah quotes from one of the Ramach, Ramesh HaKohen, who wrote different kashas against the Rambam, so Ramesh HaKohen, the Ramach, is quoted by the Kesef Mishnah as posing this challenge to the Rambam. How could the Rambam tell me that Borer is violated if it's done psalos miyochel, even if it's done for immediate use? So how in the world could the Mishnah and Beitz permit it on Yom Tov? Don't we know that you're not allowed to do malachas on Yom Tov? Just stop the malachas on Yom Tov. But it's a nefesh. So we already spoke about this in the past. Not all malachas are mutter for nefesh. Very, very specific malachas. Maybe Yotzah, Havar, Abishol, Shchita. Not all the malachas are mutter necessarily for echel nefesh. So Moshe Kayin was working with the assumption that Borer is not one of the malachas hamutaros be Yom Tov. And therefore, the only reason why the Mishnah would permit it is because it would basically be permitted on Shabbos as well. So whatever act of Beira the Mishnah is describing would be not all that different on Shabbos. So if the Mishnah is permitting a Bar Kitnius Miyokh, a Bar Kedarka, that you're allowed to remove Psalos Miyokhel, that's another way of saying that Psalos Miyokhel is Mutter. What do you mean it's Mutter? Most of the Shabbos is in the Deraisa. So the answer must be, well, it's for Miyad, it must be Lial, it must be for immediate use. So within this Mishnah that permits Beira and Yom Tov is a proof that everything that's done miyad is done right away. By definition, has to be mutter baby on the baby Shabbos. So the Rambam would presumably respond back to Moshe Kohen, like the Magen Mishnah writes, that who says that Beira was ever also Yom Tov in the first place? So Moshe Kohen is working with the assumption that Beira and Yom Tov is a disaster. Beira and Yom Tov is the same as Shabbos, and we have to come up with a heter. So the Mishnah comes up with a heter. It must be that heter is equally true for Yom Tov, for Shabbos. Mechataisi says the Magi Mishnah. Maybe Borer is from the Malachas Amutaros. Maybe you're allowed to Borer. Maybe the Raisa is allowed to Borer. Maybe even the Derabon you're allowed to Borer. So just because there's a Mishnah that permits doing Borer in a certain fashion on Yom Tov, that does not carry over, does it affect the Shabbos. So when all the dust settles, we have really a two-way major machlokes here. We have a more yantav tikkishim, not learning Ruchas Yantav, we're just learning yantav as it impacts in Shabbos. But in terms of Ruchas Shabbos, we have a major machlokes. Machlokes Mishar Malach L'maisa. I want to go ahead and take away psalos b'yoychel. But I'm doing it for 10 minutes from now. So is that mutter? So the Rambam says that's an iseskilim. The Rambam says it's an isekhatas, it's an isederaisa. To do psalos b'yoychel, even if you're doing it for right away, even if you're doing it b'yad, the mere fact that you're doing psalos b'yoychel, that in of itself is a red light in terms of Ruchas Bayra. And the Rambam says nothing new. The Rambam says you want to do it for immediate use. So mikra din, that would be okay. So lechatchila we would not follow the mekilim on this. Lechatchila we follow the Rambam. The Shulchan Aruch holds the Rambam shita. So standard practice in halacha is to follow the Rambam in this one that we don't do things derech psalos b'yochel. However, sometimes if you see somebody doing psalos b'yochel, so we've already seen before that there may be certain kulas. We spoke about the fish bones and the chicken bones, and then maybe all kinds of different kunsim, things that were more derech achila, things that are more combined with chilas b'riyah. So yeah, we had a couple of different parim hokel. So if you see somebody taking psalos b'yochel, if they're doing it for immediate use, they're relying on somebody. They're relying on the Rav Achshit. We don't follow that. We wouldn't follow that. But at least you don't have to scream Chol Shabbos. You whisper Chol Shabbos. You don't have to scream Chol Shabbos. It's not the absolute end of the world. So on Yantav, it should be Mutal, right? Yantav, Ramon Shachat's Mutal, right? Ramon Shachat's Mutal, either because it's Psalms, or Chol is Mutal Lagam, right? Even on Shabbos, or because of Lizbar, right? The Lamais, the Mishnah says that it's Mutal. So this rule of miyad is an important rule. According to the Ramach, it's the all-important rule. According to the Rav, it's a important rule. It's important to assess together with everything else. So it behooves us to just fine-tune a little bit what exactly constitutes miyad. So it's very, very unclear. The Gemara has the phrase of miyad. The Gemara speaks about in contrast to a person who's bor la'otzer. So it's very strange because the Gemara gives us almost two extremes. One is a bor la'otzer. Bor la'otzer means for a treasure, means for your storehouse. So a guy was Boireh for 10 years from now, that's one kind of Boireh, that's a Deraisa. And then the Gemara talks about Boireh V'Oichel, a person who's being Boireh and is eating immediately. The problem is there's an awful lot in between. So what's considered to be Boireh Miyad, what's considered to be not Boireh Miyad? So there's a big machlokes in Rishonim how to define precisely what Boireh Miyad means. So many Rishonim follow the view, which is basically the standard accepted view in Shulchan Aruch, is that it pretty much refers to Osa Seuda. It means that Boireh Miyad means for the meal that you are either literally in the middle of eating right now, or you are omed al haperek, you're about to begin this meal right now, that is considered to be miyad. Now the Ramah adds on that even though it may be for part of the meal, that part of the meal is not due yet. Say, I want to be buried now for dessert, I'm not going to get to dessert till, I don't want to tell you how long your Shabbos meals are going, I may not get dessert till next Yontif. But it's still the Isa Suda, it's still in the same yeshiva, it's still, still at the same basic sitting down for the same meal. So that's still considered to be the Isa Suda. So we assume like that, it has to be for that Suda. What if it's going to be for a later Suda? So a later Suda would be problematic. So there is some Rishon, the Rishon who quotes an opinion that says that maybe we can extend that idea that as long as it's the next meal on schedule. So let's say a person finished dinner, now it's 10 o'clock at night, and he wants something better for tomorrow's lunch. So according to the way we pass it, the way the Ramah presents it, so that's a problem. That's not called miyad, that's called for 10 hours from now. But according to the one opinion Rishon, and Yeruchim who says that as long as that's the next meal on schedule. If you want to be better at 10 o'clock at night for Shalosh Shabbos, that's already too far removed. But if you want to do it for lunch, even though lunch is another 12 hours from now, that would be okay. So that's not generally accepted by halacha. So yes, if you see somebody doing that, either somewhere between whispering and screaming for Shabbos, we don't generally follow that view. We follow the view that miyad means osa suda, and it has to be the osa suda, has to be something that's fairly soon. How soon is soon? So there is a phrase that appears in some Rishonim, and as Mordechai quotes an opinion that throws out the phrase lefi sha'a. It means that you're within an hour of eating that meal. The question is, what in the world does that mean, within an hour? So although there may have been some who took that number literally, and you could talk to it, because you mean 60 minutes, as it shows money, as 45 minutes in the winter, 75 minutes in the summer, what exactly meant by that? So Moshe writes in a tshuva that he always thought the whole thing was a big joke. He thought that the Rishon never really meant Lefisha. Rishon meant it as a melitza. It didn't mean literally an hour, like on the clock, an hour. This is not Kriyash, it's not Zman Bir Chometz. It's just a way of speaking, saying that, namely, it should be fairly soon. So what is fairly soon? Lefisha doesn't mean objectively. You know, when you have an objective shear, it's much easier for us to deal with. it's hard to figure out what the shear is, but at least you can work with it. When you talk about this vague kind of a term, lefi shah, you're not even sure what in the world lefi shah corresponds to. So Rav Moshe tries to fill you what he thinks it is. Rav Moshe says he thinks that what the Rishonim were really driving at was whatever's considered to be the last preparation, the last things that's being done for this upcoming meal. Now again, upcoming meal doesn't mean your Ben Yeruchim is extended till 10 hours from now. It means the meal that's up right around, literally around the corner, but it's really the last, it's the final touches that will be done right before that meal. What does that mean practically? So let's say, for example, the men are still in shul, and the women want to start preparing things for lunch. So they want to start doing things for Boira. So it's only 10 o'clock in the morning, and they're not going to get home till 11:30. Or even, says Rav Moshe, they may get home at 10:30, but they didn't get home yet. So it's not really, it's not ready yet for the meal. So the meal is considered to be, the altar is considered to be miyad, when everything else has pretty much been done. Everyone has arrived home, everyone is getting in place, everyone's taking off the coats, everyone's getting ready. So that's considered to be the final prep for the meal. That's considered to be miyad. Therefore, Rav Moshe argues that one of you plan on taking a walk. A lot of very fine families, ourselves included, like take Shabbos walks. So let's say davening was over. Well, davening is over, but we know when the next meal is going to be. The next meal is going to be lunch, but we still got to run to that mitzvah, we got to run to that mitzvah, and run kiddush. So we have 15 different things to do, and we know that lunch is going to be in the next hour and a half. So let's say a person wants to start doing all the bayrer beforehand, so emotions, that would be a problem, because you have scheduled activities between that. You have a scheduled walk in between that. You have a scheduled cheer in between that. You have a scheduled whatever you're planning on doing. I know, let's say the wife says, I want to still daven musaf before. Whatever you plan on doing has to be done before. And then the last minutes, then all the bayrer actions should be done. Now, when we speak about the bayrer actions, so we're not even only talking about the bayrer actions, because we've already spoken in the past that there are some other malachas that we may also fall back on a little bit in terms of miyad. We haven't spoken on Rikus yet about the malacha of Tochein, but we've made reference, I think somewhere along the way, we've made reference to the fact that this idea of Borer may find itself by other malachas also. There are some who argue it may apply to activities of Disha, there are some who argue it may apply to activities of Tochein, of grinding, of cutting salads. So there may be a whole array of different things that we may have an eye on the clock. We may be looking at that idea of miyad. So whenever we speak about miyad, we have to be careful that we don't want to take the miyad as saying, well, as long as the next meal is on target, that's good enough. And we also don't want to take the approach and say that we have multiple activities planned before. So really, once you try to time it, that the last final touches should be done before the suda. I know this caused a lot of havoc in our community a couple of months ago. I gave a shiur for the women, and we spoke a little bit about cutting salads, about machlekes rishonim, that with the cutting vegetables into small pieces, is that a malacha d'oraisa? There are many Rishonim who learned that cutting fruit or vegetable into little pieces is an issa d'oraisa of toichen. And the Rosh says the whole thing is lahoyd v'amil. There is no issa toichen cutting foods. That's not toichen v'chlal. So in Shulchan Aruch we're machmer in this. We're choshesh for those Rishonim who learned that cutting fruits and vegetables into small pieces, it's got to be dakka, it's got to be small pieces, that would be a violation of toichen. So the Ramah quotes a Rashba that says that if you do it in the yard, it wouldn't be a problem. If you do it right before the meal, the Rashba extrapolated from Beira. Just as Beira, we find there's a concept of Derech Achila, so to Teichen, we find there's a concept of Derech Achila. So hopefully, Metzshem, in a couple of weeks, we'll talk about, whenever we get to Teichen, so we'll talk a lot about this Rashba again. So I mentioned in the Shia for the women a couple of months ago, that when a person is cutting up salads, I want you to be careful to follow the guidelines of miyad, the same guidelines that appear in Boyer, those who want to rely on the Rashba. Don't want to rely on the Rashba, rely on the Rashba. But those who want to rely on the Rashba to permit the cutting of salads, so then they would have to be careful to stick to the guidelines, the parameters of what's called miyad. So there was a question that was supposed to be that, well, what if I'm going to somebody else's house for a meal? So I'm going to start to cut my salad. I want to cut my salad at 9 in the morning, and I want to take it with me. Taking it with me to shul, I remember I'm doing my salad, I want to bring it to somebody else's house. Is that considered to be miyad or not? So I thought that wasn't considered to be miyad. So the next Shabbos, next week, heard a lot of complaints that they had women cutting salads in other people's kitchens. There was a lot of we should make that a good women's sisterhood activity, that we should cut the salads together in the house that they're eating. So, anyway, we'll talk about Boyer, we'll get back to the parameters of that a little bit later. But getting back to Boyer, so Borer miyad does help. It doesn't solve all the world's problems, like the Moshe Cohen claims, and follow the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, that it mitigates the problem, and if it's combined with other factors, it's okay. But you have to be careful to meet the criteria. Again, the criteria being Lefishah, whatever Moshe's understanding of what Lefishah is all about. There is a Gemara that appears in Masechta Shabbos.
If you're doing multiple things, like Shetisha, Kochein, and Borei.
Because you have a lot of things. That's all called Biyah.
You do it in the Seder of what's
Pasha that you need to be out. No, I don't think so. I think that's all considered to be. When your wife's ready, I'm making the final touches for the. So I have to peel the fruit, I gotta cut the fruit, I gotta be burned, whatever things I have to do, that's all considered to be. Again, this is all. It's not like there's a halacha Moshe Messina, you know, like Moshe 60 minutes. The point is that it has to meet the criteria, it has to give off the impression this is Derech Achila, it's not Derech Malacha. The Gemara, Chazal, will convey a certain klolim as to how the Torah understands this. What's considered to be a derech malach, what's considered to be a derech achila. So there is a tricky Gemara that appears in Masechta Shabbos, later in Masechta Shabbos, that there's a lot of discussion in the Rishonim about how does that Gemara fit into some of the principles that we're talking about now. It's a Gemara concerning Yom Kippur. The general rule is, whatever you're not allowed to do on Shabbos, you're not allowed to do on Yom Kippur. And for kid, there are certain things, additional things you're not allowed to do on Yom Kippur. But in the realm of Malacha, so the Mishnah says, Ein Ben Shabbos Yom Kippurim, except the guy with the own Mishnah. Shabbos is a skivaka, Yom Kippur is a sakaris. But in terms of what you are and not allowed to do, pretty much the rules are the same, with one exception. The one possible exception is what's called Knivas Hayerek. Knivas Hayerek is not clear what it is. It has something to do with vegetables that I can tell you, but we're not sure what the word Kniva is. It has something to do with preparation of vegetables. According to some Rishonim, it may involve cutting vegetables. According to other Rishonim, it may involve removing some of the bad inedible leaves from the vegetables. There's some kind of a procedure that's done that under normal circumstances we would not permit. Then Shabbos we would say would be problematic. But on Yom Kippur, we're making that Knivas Hayerek is permissible on Yom Kippur, min ha-mincha l'malo. That late in the afternoon on Yom Kippur, one is allowed to do Knivas Hayerek. What kind of story? Have you heard of such a thing? The reason why you never heard of it, we don't do it anymore. But whoever, why did Chazal say such a strange thing? That if it's also, it's also, it's mutter, it's mutter. So the answer must be, well, it can't be an issur d'oraisa. It would be, whatever this Knivas Hayerek is, there's no way it can be prohibited in that Torah, because that would be absurd to permit an issur d'oraisa in Yom Kippur. So it must be some kind of an issur d'rabbanan. So why do we lift this issur d'rabbanan? What was the goal of lifting this issur d'rabbanan? If it's also d'rabbanan, it's also in Yom Kippur also. All the Shavuos and all the Rabbanans apply to Yom Kippur. So the Gemara gives a very, very cryptic statement. The Gemara says that the reason why Chazal lifted this prohibition, which again, by definition, can only be the Rabbanan, was Bishum Agmas Nefesh. Agmas Nefesh, because of agony, because of anguish, because of pain. That's why Chazal lifted this issur. So the question, what does that mean? What's Pshat? So the Pashim Pshat is, the Rashi presents, and probably most of the Rishon learned, is that Chazal had Rachmanus on us. Namely that people, it's been the end of Yom Kippur soon, people want to sit down and eat. They don't want to start preparing the vegetables on Matzah Yom Kippur. They sit down at 10 o'clock at night and start cutting up the vegetables. So again, we're talking about an age before refrigeration, so nothing can be prepared from beforehand. So you want people to get a jump start in the preparation. So it's a very strange thing. Here, everyone's davening the Ilan, the women are in the kitchen, they're doing Knivas Hayerek. It's still Yom Kippur, it's still Yom Kippur. It's still Hashem HaShavav Yifnes, not even Shkir yet. It's all the Tzeyap Zman Mincha. I must be trying to break, but that's the trap. So Tzeyap Zman Mincha Ketana. So the women are already starting to do Knivas Hayerek. You play Agmas HaNefesh in order to prevent people from having that agony. You come home with Yom Kippur and then, oh, you come out, where's the food? What's that? We had about 3 hours of food preparation. So we play Agmas HaNefesh. You see, the Chazal were very careful. They wanted people to come to Yom Kippur. They wanted people to be able to eat right away. Oh, wait, it's very good, excellent. So it is Achana. Achana is usually a prohibition with the Rabbanon. And Chazal lifted this prohibition because of Agmas Nefesh, because of the Tzar, because of the agony of having to wait longer. That's why the Gemara has a whole discussion about whether you have to daven Mayer on the Yom Kippur. Some shuls follow that practice. What's one opinion that says you don't daven for that? Shmishma, you have to say. That's a deraisa. Birch Shmishma, that's a deraisa. You can say that later. But Shmon Esrei, so the Gemara quotes one opinion that says that you don't have to daven Mayriv on Matzah Yom Kippur. Why do you have to daven Matzah Yom Kippur? You just daven the Ilah. So an Ilah Pater, it's a Shemayriv. The Ilah and Mayriv overlap. It's the same basic man. So an Ilah knocks you out for davening Mayriv. So the Rishonim explained that we don't pass like that. Because we paskins man Ilah's by Yom. The Gemara quotes about Rekis, whether the Ilah is supposed to be davened by day or by night. So our meaning is we start by day and the Chazan finishes by the night. But we start the Shal Shmoneh Esrei, we finish our Shal Shmoneh Esrei, we build Yom, and we pass against the Ilus Bayom, not the Laila. So the Rishonim say that if you hold the Ilus Bayom, then obviously it's not going to pass the Ma'ariv. It only makes sense to pass the Ma'ariv if it's man Ilus at night. So then Tosfos has a kasha, and the Gemara Tosfos says, what do you need? The Gemara has a discussion about this. The enemy says, Yuma. So the Gemara says, what do you need the Ilah to pop the Ma'ariv? Tfilas Arvus is a Rishos. You never have done Ma'ariv. You never have done Yom Kippur. You never have done Ma'ariv. Any night you have done Shemoneh Esrei, because the Gemara Tfilas Arvus is Rishos. So Tosis on the spot gets very, very nervous, because Tosis' shita is that tefillas avos reshus doesn't mean you don't have to daven ma'ariv. Tefillas avos reshus means if you have another important thing to take care of, then you don't have to daven ma'ariv. But if you have nothing else going on, then of course you have to daven ma'ariv. So Frek Tosis Akasha, what important thing are you doing on Matzoh Yom Kippur? Why does the Gemara say that if you hold tefillas avos reshus, you don't have to daven ma'ariv? What could you possibly be doing on Matzoh Yom Kippur? So Tosis says, you're eating your suda, and that's a mitzvah, because the eating on Matzoh Yom Kippur is a celebration of. And the Baskel comes out from Shemayim and says, you should eat and enjoy, it's a celebration of Chilas HaVayis. So you see that, we take the eating of Yisuda so seriously, let's say Yom Kippur, that it's Doichad Avri Ma'ariv, you could do Yisurim Durabon and Rachonak, and you say, yeah, everything's Gevalet, just to make sure everyone gets eating on, let's say, Yom Kippur. So we take this very, very seriously, the Din of Achila on, let's say, Yom Kippur. So that's a Rashi Lim Shad Gemara, that Kenivah Sayyarek is Mutter to avoid Agnes Nefesh. So some of the Rishonim have a very, very unique interpretation of this Gemara. Some Rishonim say, no, that's not Agnes Nefesh means. What Agnes Nefesh means is, we want to give you more Agnes Nefesh in Yom Kippur. Why? Because if you're sitting around Yom Kippur preparing vegetables, you're like salivating. You're getting like, oh my goodness, look at these delicious broccoli right around the corner. You should tell you to start flipping pizzas or something. You go to this. The person's getting so upset that he's not having a chance to eat. So why do we want to get a guy upset? It's a big inu. We want to be fulfilled. The holiday is to honor Stav Shasechem. It's a very, very difficult challenge. The Rishonim, we never find anywhere such a concept that was supposed to be miserable in Yom Kippur. We want you to dafka be hungry in Yom Kippur. There's a deep, you have to refrain from a chilu shtia. Let's say I'm a very good fastest, but I'm in a perfectly good mood. Yom Kippur comes the whole day, nothing bothers my stomach, that rumbling, I'm perfectly okay. So that was a lesson of mitzvah. The guy who's miserable, the guy's got a headache, the guy's collapsing, the guy has caffeine of withdrawal, the guy's on the floor in bed all day. He's the biggest, ever such a thing. A very, very difficult idea that some Rishonim have. That's what Agnes Nefesh means. So, Pasha Pshat is like Rashi, but Agnes Nefesh means a kul, not a chumra. It means we're trying to make life easier for you. So, the Gemara says, Beferish, that this heter exists. You're allowed to do the Agnes Nefesh, you're allowed to do Kenivas Ayarim. So, the Rishonim are trying to figure out, what are you doing exactly? What would have otherwise been Asur? And again, we can't make it to Asur. We have to walk a tightrope because you have to find some kind of activity that you're doing that would have otherwise been Asur, not for the fact that Chazal looked to be Asur, but we can't commit it to being an Issa Deraisa, because then it would have been ridiculous. So some of the Rishonim describe that what you're doing is you're separating, like the leaves that you're eating cabbage, so you're separating the bad leaves from the good leaves. So the Rishonim ask Akasha, wait, he said, hold the phone. That's a very serious problem. That's Bayer. That's Deraisa. So there's a Malacha, it's a Malacha Deraisa in Yom Kippur. The standards for Malacha and Yom Kippur are identical to Shabbos. So how in the world could Chazal lift this Issa D'Oraisa just in order to make life easy for you Motzei Yom Kippur? That doesn't make any sense. So the Magid Mishnah writes, B'tochem Yakusha, that it must be that the leaves aren't so bad. It must be that when the Rishonim, the early Rishonim described separating the bad leaves from the good leaves, it must be that even the bad leaves were still edible. The Rishonim explained that the Medivah Mimurim that is buried D'Oraisa, that's when you have Eichel and Psoilus. It's like you go to the store, you buy the lettuces. So you buy the Hamish brands of lettuces, and every once in a while there's a couple of black leaves on them. So it depends how bad they are. So if they're mamish, inedible, disgusting, despicable, no normal person would ever eat those leaves. If you start pulling away those leaves, that's a shot of butter there, I said. Bottom, it's a little brown on the edges, a little something. And we always have the same machlekes every year to say that I look at the leaves, it looks okay to me. And my wife starts pulling away. The Yantabuk is pulling away now. This leaf is over. What's wrong? I bought 15 bags of maror at $35 a pop. I said, and now 9/10 of them end up in the garbage because they're fossil. So we have to, but it's again, so sometimes you have different standards of what's called the Roy Lechila. So if you have leaves, says the Magen Mishnah, that are basically Roy Lechila, and there's no bird there, right? So maybe it's bird there, you can look the other way, like the same way you look at Achana the other way, we can look the other way. So the Rishonim have to work really, really hard to figure out what was Dirabonim about this. We have to somehow turn this into Dirabonim. To make life even more complicated, the Gemara then extends Kenivas Ayarek, and the Gemara says, not only are you allowed to do Kenivas Ayarek late in the afternoon, you're allowed to start chopping, you're allowed to start opening up nuts, and you're allowed to start cracking nuts on late in the afternoon Yom Kippur in order to get the ball rolling for people who want to eat. I see it right from here that you're allowed to eat nuts after assessment. For some of Mach, they only eat nuts till Shana Rabbos. They see from here for the Gemara, you realize that Raya. So Raya Brewer, you can eat nuts on the Gemara, you're allowed to eat nuts on the Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says you're allowed to start cracking the nuts open also. So the Rishonim has the same gotcha, cracking the nuts, Gemalt. Isn't cracking the nuts, that's an Issa Gomorrah, a Boyer, a Dosh, something or other. So the Ramah quotes one of the early Chavarim says, you know, the Gemara says you can crack the nuts, but you can't take the nuts out of the shells. It means you can open the shell. You can do every last second, but you can't do real barer. So you see that we're walking a tightrope here. Nobody wants to violate barer. We're shaking not to violate barer the araisa. So we have to figure out a kadesh and a finagle away that every activity that Chazal are permitting is really only a barer, a dash. It's only something that's also at the level of the Rabbanan. Why are we so nervous about all this? Because this doesn't look like it's miyad. It doesn't look like it's for immediate use. Because here, the Gemara says you're allowed to do this late in the afternoon. Yom Kippur, a mincha l'mala. So I'm not going to sit down and eat until after Nila, until after Meir. Okay, I mean, not after Meir, okay, whatever it is. I'm not going to sit down and eat another 2-3 hours. So this doesn't sound like it's miyad. So perhaps the reason why the Rishonim are tumbling and trying hard to figure out about how to do this there hefner is because we're missing that major component of miyad. So the Mishnah Berurah in the Shaar Tzion, in the notes at the bottom, throws out a curveball. The Mishnah Berurah says that maybe this is called miyad. Why is this called miyad? Because remember we said that there is no objective time of miyad. What miyad means is the time that people usually prepare for the meal, the last final touches before the meal. This is the last final touches before the Yom Kippur, Motzei Yom Kippur Suda, because this is how people do it. This is B'nei Agmos Nefesh, because people don't want to wait until the last second, so this is considered to be Derech Achila. So even though the guy's doing it 3 hours ahead, says the Mishnah Berurah, maybe one can argue, since that's Darka B'kach, that's the Olam does, so that's still considered to be, in a sense, some of Chosu, that's the altar, and then that would be Mutter based on Chos Berurah. So you have two different approaches here as to what, how we look at this Kedim Seyerek. When you look at Kedim Seyerek, and every case that Chazal gave, of Kedim Seyerek, and opening up the nut, everything we have to get a Kinesh, with a Chab, with a Kunz, as to why there's no real list taking place. Or do we say, no, maybe we have a right to be a lot more lenient with the Shiloh. At the end of the day, it doesn't make much of a difference for us because we don't do Kedim Seyerek anyway. Why don't we do Kedim Seyerek? Because the Gemara says that when you do Kedim Seyerek, Chazal only lifted the Yisr after Zman Min Fiktana. You can't do it at 9 o'clock in the morning. You can only do it late. It just doesn't look right. If you're doing it, you know, an hour before Shkia, then you can explain away that with the Nefesh, that it doesn't look so bad. You're doing it by Kol Nidre already. You're doing it in the Chachar's time. You're doing Kedim Seyerek. That's already too much. Chazal will not make it on that. So if you do Kedim Seyerek too early in the day, you'll be in violation of these Yisurim Derabbanan, whatever they are. So the Rishonim quote that we have a practice already for hundreds and years already, that nobody does Kedim Seyerek anymore. Why? Because people were being mazalza. Nobody was looking at the watch. People had a few minutes in the afternoon, you know, in the middle of Busaf, they would run out and start doing their food preparations. So they were violating the heter that Chazal gave us. So if a person does Kedim Seyerek too early, then they would never got the green light, and therefore it's also. So it's still the same as the Rabbanan, and maybe even the Raisa, based on what the Mishnah Berurah is saying. So therefore the Minhag Yisrael has become for a long time already. Nobody does any of these concepts. No Hachanas, no Kedim Seyerek, none of this stuff anyway. So that's why many people never heard of it. If you don't learn the Sugya and the Shabbos, you never heard of Kedim Seyerek. It hasn't been part of Jewish practice in the last 1,000 years or so. But in theory, there is such a heter called Kedim Seyerek. And within the Sugya of Kedim Seyerek, you have to work at some of the details, just in terms of what's considered to be the altar, whether it meets the criteria in terms of being miyad or not. Hopefully it's Shema next week. So we have one last Nakuda just in terms of Borer, and then hopefully it's Shema next week. We'll respond to the next Nakuda.
What was the answer about Borer and Yontif when someone said, well, who says Borer? Rambam said that.
Yeah.
No, it's the Rambam who said Borer is permitted on Yontif?
Yeah, some say that Borer is permitted on Yontif, right. Some say that. Different. Let me just figure out how to do this.
It's because it's on hold, right?